Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 26, Norse Mythology, Part 4. And the question is, who are the gods? Things get complicated here, and believe me, I have made every effort to simplify the picture that Steiner gives us of these beings that I've been enumerating. And as he said very often, things simply are not that simple. So bear with me, because I can testify that I myself, in the many times I've taught grade four, have found it very helpful to have some idea of who the hell is it I'm talking about. You know, if I'm teaching them about Martin Luther or Sir Francis Bacon or Thomas Edison, I can have some capacity to identify with those individuals. They were human beings of flesh and blood, and enough things happened in their life that were recognizable in a human biography makes it a little easier. But who are the gods? Well, where are they coming from? What are they doing? Where are they now? That's another question. Of course, this is another interesting aspect of Norse mythology, that it has an ending. And Snorre Sturluson is the one who is accused of creating this ending so that everything could conveniently segue into Christianity. But I don't think that that is the case. I think that the Norse gods had a sense that their mission was time-sensitive, and as we will see, that there was only so much time allotted to them, and they had a lot to accomplish. So, let's go back to their identity. I've spoken now of angels who remain close to individual human beings, and therefore have a biography, which is to say a connection with the earth. They do not go through death in the way we do, but a connection with the earth as long as a human life. Now, your angel's earthly biography will come to an end at the same moment that yours does. I wish you well, of course, but just think of that. Secondly, the archangels, who are like the angels of the angels. The archangels look after angelic groups, and they do this by looking after human groups, by receiving messages from the angels about places where human beings are grouped together and find a unity with one another. And certainly a religious confession is a very important aspect of this. And then we have the Archai, who were very distant from individual human beings, quite distant from groups, and they learn from the archangels how these diverse groups are working in a long period of time, how a new culture is being formed, how an old culture is coming to an end. And we'll see this very poignantly in grade 5, because there we work with several different cultures in chronological order. Here this year, we're getting ready for that. We're getting our training wheels by working with one culture in particular. Now, Steiner not only brings to us this picture of the lifespan of the spiritual being vis-a-vis the earth, he also mentions that these beings are evolving. And that is one of Steiner's great revelations, that he agreed that, yes, evolution is real, but he didn't quite go along with Darwin's particular interpretation, or at least the interpretation that Darwin's followers have given it. But nonetheless, it was the work of Darwin, the discovery of evolution, and it becoming part of the culture of the late 19th century, that gave Steiner the foundation for his evolutionary picture, not only of Earth development, with which you may be familiar from your training in Waldorf education, the foundation year, perhaps, if you've done that, but also that the entire spiritual world is evolving as well, that we are part of a fabric which is much greater than anything we might see, and in which the earth, the development of the earth, the physical nature of the earth, all of this is just a small part of a much, much bigger picture. So the angels are evolving. How are they evolving? They are developing right now. They are undergoing self-development. They are, we could say, working on themselves in a certain way, though very different from the way we are self-developing. They are developing so that they can take on the role, the identity, the spiritual tasks of archangels. Eventually, angels will all be archangels. Archangels are evolving, developing to a point where they will eventually become archai. Archai are developing so that they will reach a point in which they will become spirits of form. Now, for those of you who took the grade 3 conference online, you've already met a spirit of form. I'm not going to go into much detail about them. And that was Yahweh. Yahweh, who is the only spirit of form who ever made a direct connection with individual human beings, who in a way violated, broke all of the rules of evolution, order, hierarchy, and so on, because there was an emergency situation in Earth evolution, and a certain group of people had to be chosen, separated out from the others. And for this reason, spiritual beings took exceptional measures. So a spirit of form is part of the second hierarchy, higher than the third hierarchy. And I think I've called the angels archangels and archai the third hierarchy. If I did not, then I was mistaken. They're the third. Spirits of form, spirits of movement, spirits of wisdom are the second hierarchy. So they're all evolving. They are all working towards the time when they will be promoted to the next step. What about human beings? We're evolving too. We are evolving to the point where we will one day be angels. That is what we are working on, developing the good angel, the angelic nature within ourselves. And for Steiner, it's a very specific set of actions to do this, and a specific kind of change that will occur in the human being. It's still some time off in the future, but that's our general destination. So the gods are those angels, archangels, and archai who remain within the provenance of human life. What do I mean by remained? In earlier stages of Earth evolution, these were beings who chose not to move forward in the inexorable march of progress towards evolving to something higher. These are beings who stayed back to remain closer to human beings. Now, with your acquaintance with anthroposophy, whatever level that might be on, you know probably about the hindering beings, Lucifer and Ahriman, who are indeed beings who chose to remain back to a degree that they were fallen, that they are very lofty, high beings who fell, we might say, drawn by earthly gravity, and assume a power on the earth which they are not really meant to have, but which they have at this point anyway. Some of the gods were more inclined to one or another of the Luciferic or Ahrimanic directions, but there were also godly beings, that is to say, they were divine, they're hierarchical beings, who chose to remain with human beings purely out of a wish to help, purely out of a deep connection that they felt with these fairly relatively helpless beings who had to fend for themselves, who were relatively speaking bereft of help from the spiritual world, especially as time went on, as particularly in the centuries right before the Christ event and right after. This is where human beings were furthest away from the spiritual world and from a real connection with it. So these godlike beings, or I should say these godly beings, angels, archangels, and archai, did not take the step to become archangels, archai, and spirits of form. They stayed in their position. However, because they were evolving, because they were developed, because they could have been promoted had they so chosen, they carried higher forces than their hierarchical rank might suggest. So they had exceptional powers because they were meant to be one step higher than they were, but they remain closer to human beings, so that an angel who was meant to be promoted to be an archangel could show human beings something of the mystery of the power of folk souls and group souls that an archangel would never have shown, because they wouldn't get so close to a human being. An archangel meant to be an archai could carry the power of time into the life of human beings, could awaken them to the future, to the past, in a way that an ordinary archangel could not. So they were able to give human beings deeper insights into the spiritual world, and they were able to act in an exceptionalist way that spiritual beings ordinarily would not be allowed to do. Now, in doing this, these spiritual beings took very great risks because they could easily be pulled into the constellation of beings around Lucifer and Ahriman. Indeed, we could say, as Steiner does, that up until the time of Christ, Lucifer was such a powerful being that he actually was given rulership over earthly life. And Steiner has said that all spiritual inspiration, right up until the mystery of Golgotha, was Luciferic in nature. So everything we teach in grade 5, 99% of it, is Luciferic in nature. And that doesn't mean it's evil. It just means that it all occurred at a time when Lucifer was ruling earthly consciousness. And higher beings had to find other ways of coming in, which meant that they had to go through the mysteries. That in the mysteries, higher beings could work in a way that was not possible in the ordinary religious life of all of the great pre-Christian cultures. In the same way, post-Christian cultures, including our own, anything after the mystery of Golgotha, is inspired by Ahriman. And this is why art gradually is giving way to technology. This is why we are looking at a world increasingly composed of physical substance only, and nothing else has meaning, nothing else really exists. Quite the opposite of what Lucifer brought to cultures in earlier times. So all of these beings who stay behind to be helpmates to human beings have to, in one way or another, fall under the sway of Lucifer or Ahriman. There are going to be imperfections there. And this is a very important quality, very different from the Judeo-Christian picture of the divine world, which is perfect. Rather, the earlier peoples, the polytheistic peoples, pagans, had a very good sense that their gods and goddesses were not perfect. They were powerful, but not perfect. They were beautiful, but not perfect. They could be incredibly helpful. They could also at times trick human beings or even bring very destructive things to human beings. They were not perfect. They had their flaws. And we'll see what an important role these flaws and imperfections play in the Norse myths. That will come in our next lecture.